Okay, today I want to do with you some Haggadah. Okay, some Machshava, Inyani Machshava on Inyani Haggadah. Okay, most of what I'm going to tell you is going to come from the Sefer called Haggadah Shel Pesach Shemen HaToiv. Shemen HaToiv was, this Haggadah was written by Rabbi Bernard Weinberger. Probably many of you know him. Here he's called in the Sefer Zev Doiv Weinberger. He was the Rav of the Young Israel of Brooklyn in Williamsburg. He has already five on Chumash. On Meladim, he has already five volumes. Every so often, he put out another volume. Over the years, he put out another volume called very, very, the classics. A lot of the Rabbanim are very fond of his Sfarim. He's a very, very powerful Darshan. He's a very good speaker. He's a very good speaker, very good darshan, his ideas are original, very, very creative, unique. He is rooted very much in Sfas Emes, that Mahalach Machshava. And this year, he put out a Haggadah Shel Pesach, Shemen HaTov, with more Chidushim. Now, so he has some very nice ideas. I skim through part of the Sefer very quickly. I want to present some things which I just, skimming through it, caught my attention. Now, the first idea is not from the Sefer. It's not from here. I just want to throw out an idea that came to mind with regard to Holach Ma'anya. The Haggadah really begins with Holach Ma'anya. Every year I like to say over from Rabbi Belsky that most of our Haggadahs, you'll notice that Holach Ma'anya is not the beginning of Maggid. Let's see what it says in this Haggadah. Holach Ma'anya. And then it says Manishtana, and it doesn't tell us where Magid begins. Okay, so many Haggadahs, they have the Simonim, Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, and you look in probably 95% of the Haggadahs that are in print today, it will say Magid right before Holach Ma'anya. Right before you begin to say Holach Ma'anya, you have now entered into the domain of Magid. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. We're done with that. That's over. That's ancient history. Now we're up to Magid, big Oisios, Magid, Holach Ma'anya. So I mentioned this to you last year. I just want to throw this out as a Hagdama to what I want to tell you is many. That's not necessarily true. In the old Haggadahs, there was no such thing as putting the word Magid before Holach Ma'anya. And Rabbi Belsky says that the Magid begins with Manishtana. Holach Ma'anya is part of Yachatz. When you break the matzah, you're not just breaking the matzah. You also say something that accompanies the breaking of the matzah. When you break the matzah, you go, oh, Holach Ma'anya di'achola avosona bi'ara, the Mitzrayim, this is the bread of the poor man's bread, the bread of affliction which our forefathers have eaten in the land of Egypt. It is what accompanies Yachatz. Okay, that's just in fact, I found that the Kolbo says the same thing. The Kolbo Kamat says that the Holach Ma'anya is the Amira for Yachatz. Holach Ma'anya is not yet part of Magid. However, now, although that is correct, that is absolutely correct, it is the first Amira that is unique to the Haggadah. Because, you know, Kadesh is Kiddush. We do that anyway every Yom Tov night. Orchatz, okay, so we wash that. There's nothing that's said. Karpas, you make a bracha. Bar Pri Adama, make a bracha. There's nothing special being said. Although Holach Ma'anya is not necessarily part of Magid, it is the beginning of the Amira of what the unique things that we say in the Haggadah. What is the last thing we say in the Haggadah? Chad Gadya. Chad Gadya is the scene. Well, in the Nusach of the Haggadah, pretty much that's the end. What is the common? What is the beginning of the unique Amira of the Seder? Holach Ma'anya. What is the end? Chad Gadya. What do both of these have in common that is unique to them, that's not true with regard to the rest of the Seder? They're both written B'loshon Aramis. Right. They're both Aramaic. They're the only things in the entire Haggadah which are Aramaic. Why? Because it's the beginning and the end. It is the sandwich between the entire Haggadah. We sandwich the entire Haggadah, which is all Lashon Kodesh, in between a package of Aramaic. It's like a packaging. Aramaic is not as holy as Lashon Kodesh. And you know, we have something that's very delicate, something that's very precious. You want to put it in some type of packaging, and the packaging is not the Iker. It's what it contains. So these two expressions are in Aramaic. It's the packaging. Okay. But being that they're both in Aramaic, I want to suggest the following idea, that there's a very strong connection between the two. Now, what do I mean by that? What is the theme of Chag Gadya? There is a cycle, or there is a swallowing up of one item. One item swallows up the past. The future...
The flow of history.
The flow of history. We start off with the Gadya, and the Gadya was swallowed up by... I'm a little confused already. It wasn't swallowed up. It was... Chad Gadya, the Zabin Abba, betrayed Zuzay.
It's a chain event.
It's a chain event. The cat. The cat comes and swallows up the Gadya. And then the door comes. One thing... One event consumes what came before it. If you look, let's think a look about matzah. Before you come to lachmai, why do we eat matzah? Let's go back to ancient history. Why did Klal Yisrael eat matzah in Egypt before they knew about Moshe Rabbeinu? Before Moshe Rabbeinu came and said pokot pokadeti. Chazal tell us they were fed matzah because it's good for slaves. It doesn't digest for a long time. It produces productivity. It's cheap, it's easy to make, and it's good for productivity. So they fed matzah to Klal Yisrael because it's good slave food. It was slave food. Then we left Egypt. And we left Egypt, Hashem told us he can have a mitzvah of matzah. Why do we eat matzah when we leave Egypt? So one thing we have to remember, we remember that we were slaves. But that's not the primary reason. The prakilo yachlu lehismaneya. It was an expression of chipazon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim in a state of haste. And that was accompanied by the Karban Pesach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he passed over, he saved us. Pasach Hashem ala Pesach, he wiped out the firstborns, he saved Klal Yisrael. And the matzah accompanied the Pesach. The matzah was an expression of chayrus together with the Karban Pesach. Then what happened? Let's fast forward many years in history. There was a Churban Beis HaMikdash. And when there was a Churban Beis HaMikdash, no longer were we able to eat a Karban Pesach. So what do we do instead of eating a Karban Pesach? What do we do at the end of the Seder? We have Tzofa and we eat Afikoymen. What is the Afikoymen? It's a Zecher for the Karban Pesach. And what's going to happen when the Mashiach will come once again? The Mashiach will come once and we will have the Karban Pesach and we'll eat the matzah again. And when we'll be eating the matzah, it's not going to be, we'll have the real Karban Pesach and we'll have matzah. What I'm trying to say is, the matzah, the reason why we eat matzah has gone through and is going through a process of Chag Gadya. The first time we ate matzah, the matzah was nothing more than slave food. And then guess what? V'osa shunra v'ochal gadya. The cat came and ate the gadya. Then when we left Mitzrayim, we started eating matzah, but for a different reason. The time of the matzah was chayrus. V'lo yachlu lehismameh chipazon. And the original reason for eating matzah of slave food was dwarfed, was on a back burner. It was all subsumed, was all captured within the ikar. The ikar reason why we're eating matzah is because lo yach lehismameya, chipazan, Pesach, Hashem passed over, he saved us, he took us out in haste. And in that achilas matzah, you know, taco, we also remember deep down within, buried within, is also the slave food that we had when we were in Egypt. And then when the Churban came, and we no longer have a Korban Pesach, and we have now the Afikoimen, and we're sitting like today, and we're eating the Afikoimen, eating matzah. What are we thinking? This piece of matzah is a zecher for the Korban Pesach. And the Korban Pesach was eaten together with matzah, which represented chayrus. And the chayrus was just the zecher of the slave food that we had in Egypt. And then when Mashiach will come, we'll be eating matzah once again. And when we'll be eating matzah once again, we'll be thinking, well, look at this. We're thinking about the ultimate gula. And certainly when we're eating matzah, we're eating matzah now. It's a symbol of our chayrus. We'll be eating with the Korban Pesach. And we'll remember that we used to eat this matzah as a zecher for the Korban Pesach. And when we ate the Korban Pesach, we ate it with matzah. Matzah is merodim yochluhu, which was a zecher for the slave food that we have in Egypt. So I'm trying to say is that matzah itself is going through this cycle of Chag Gadya. The reason why we eat matzah at each different point in our history reminds us of a reason why we ate matzah in a previous point of history, similar to the Chag Gadya period, where we keep on going through cycles. There are four different tkufas of matzah. Egypt matzah, slave food. Matzah eaten together with the Korban Pesach, that's freedom food. Then there's matzah being eaten bizman hazeh. It's not freedom food bizman hazeh. We're in Golos. There is no freedom food. The matzah has to be eaten together with bizman shemesh. You have to eat the matzah together with the Korban Pesach. It must be with the Korban Pesach. We don't have it, so we're eating matzah. We don't have a Korban Pesach. So why are we eating matzah bizman hazeh? To some degree, besides you have to eat matzah by itself, but you're also eating matzah as the afikoimen, as a zecher for the Korban Pesach. And then when Mashiach will come, we're going to eat matzah again, and that matzah is going to remind us of the matzah that we ate with zecher the Korban Pesach, which the Korban Pesach was a zecher for.
To the second stage. It's back to the.
No, it's not the same. Earlier. It's not. No, it's not. Oh, not necessarily. Pesach. No. When Mashiach will come.
Yeah.
When Mashiach, that's what I want to say. It's not. I want to say when Hashta Ha'achol Lashon Ha'Babiyari. So when we're eating matzah, when Mashiach will come, it will remind us. Now it's the Iker. It's going to be with the Korban Pesach, but it will still remind us of the matzah that we ate in Galus. And the matzah that we ate in Galus was only a zecher for the matzah that we ate with the original Korban Pesach. And the matzah with the original Korban Pesach was a reminder of the matzah we ate in Egypt as slave food. So I'm trying to say is that we're eating matzah, there are many reasons why we eat matzah, but there is definitely this cycle of matzah, the purpose of the eating matzah is changing over history. Four different stages. Egypt matzah, matzah b'shas yitzias Mitzrayim, matzah b'zman hazeh, and the matzah we, Lashon Haba b'yared Yisrael, will be a different type of matzah, which will remind us of the matzah that we ate today, which in turn is a reminder of the matzah we ate b'shas b'zman shveis v'nishayikayim. And the matzah b'zman shveis v'nishayikayim was a zeichah for the matzah in Mitzrayim. So the fact that the Haggadah begins with Holach Ma'anya and ends with Chag Gadya, and they're both in Aramaic, and one is the end, one is the beginning, and the Chazal are obsessed with always tying the end to the beginning. That's an obsession Chazal have. When you make a sin, you have to tie the end to the beginning. We have to look at the Holach Ma'anya in terms of a Chag Gadya. And indeed, we really say expressions. How do we say halach? Halach ma'anya, this poor man's bread. Di acholu av hosono be'aro de Mitzrayim. That's not the reason why matzah shelo ichlim. When you come to the Haggadah later on, what do you say? Matzah shelo hispik betzekom lahachnitz ad shehigla alein melech malchei amlochem hakadosh baruch hu ga'olam. That's why you eat matzah. So halach ma'anya is wrong. Holach ma'anya, you got it all. That's not what lo yotzev. You would say holach ma'anya, you would not be yotzei the seder, because the reason why we eat matzah at the seder is a zecher for chayrus, for freedom, right? So what are we saying over here? It's a different achilas matzah. It's an achilas matzah for what was b'shas Egypt for 210 years or 86 years, Shibut. Then what do we go and we say the next line? What do we say? Kol dichven. Anyone who is hungry, yesei the yechol. Let him eat the matzah. Kol ditzrich, yesei the yifsach. What? There's no Karim Pesach. We have a Karim Pesach. No one has a Karim Pesach. L'zman hazeh. What are we saying? We're saying Aramaic. We're really alluding to that there came another point in time where the yechol, we ate the matzah together with the Karim Pesach. It was transformed. The matzah that was eaten not as slave food, it was eaten as cheres food together with the Karim Pesach. Al matzos umerorim yochluhu. You have to eat the Karim Pesach together with matzah. And then what happened? Along came the Chorban. The Chorban came. No longer is there a Karim Pesach. So what do? So we eat matzah zecher for the Karim Pesach. Hashata hocha. We can eat the matzah now, here, what we have today. What is here today? A zecher for what was, when what was, together, yesei the yechol, yesei the yifsach. A zecher for the tkufa when we ate the matzah together with the Karim Pesach. L'shana haba. And in Yirtz Hashem, next year, Ba'ara di Yisrael, there'll be a new geula. A new gula with new matzah, and certainly the matzah will take on new meaning. And when the matzah takes on new meaning, it's going to all be a whole new meaning. And that matzah will remind us of the matzah the way we eat it today, which in turn reminds us of the matzah the way we eat this matzah, which in turn reminds us of the matzah that we ate, the arah de Mitzrayim. Okay, so this is, it's an idea. It needs a little more work. He ate it together.
For
different reason. But the Iker Tam is called Mishle Omar Shloish Dramal Pesach Loyotzi Dechavasai Pesach Matzah Umarar is it's Cheiros. This is the idea I want to suggest. We're taking Holach Ma'anya, it's Aramaic, Chagai is Aramaic, beginning, end. We can learn one from another. Halach Ma'anya really is a Chagag is just a code. It's a polite reminder. Look at the Halach Ma'anya as a Chagagya. Look at it as some type of continuous cycle, which in history the matzah goes. It goes through different cycles of what we eat, well, why we eat the matzah. Okay, so this is one idea I wanted to present. Now let's go to another. And here's another. This is pshat. What? And next idea is a simple idea. This is Rabbi Weinberger's Haggadah. This is Pshat. This is not Jewish. This is Mushat. Kan HaBen Shoyl. When we come to the Manishtana, it says, Haggadah. Kan HaBen Shoyl. Why should the child, I always bother by this question, why does the child, how does he know all of these things? He has four questions.
Especially the third one.
Is that
all they teach him in school?
He doesn't know. How does he know? So the answer is, Rabbi Weinberg explains, now the child has all the information he needs to ask the four questions. And he explains. What was bothering me? How does a child know that we're not going to eat chametz? How does he know?
You just displayed the halach.
Oh, that's the end. That's what he explains. The fact that we said halach ma'anya means that's all we got tonight. Child, that's how Rabbi Weinberg is coming to Fataych, halach ma'anya. Halach ma'anya is a statement to the child, my son, tonight we're just having matzah. Halach ma'anya. That's why it's so critical to say halach ma'anya, in order to tell them there's no chametz tonight. Oh, now the child. Oh, well, why? Why only matzah? Next thing. Shabbachol is anu achulim show you rakais halayel hazem morar. Morar. Morar is way much later. What did we do until now? We dipped karpas, and we made a bari pri adama. Why? And when you make the Borei Pri Adama, what's the halacha? You have to have kavana. The Borei Pri Adama is going to go on the morar. There's a whole shayla. How could you go make a al-chilas morar? You have to make a Borei Pri Adama on the morar. So you have to tell the child that when we take the karpas and we dip it in salt water and we make a Borei Pri Adama, remember, we're going to be eating maror tonight. Child right away, we're eating maror tonight. Why are we eating maror tonight? So we have the second piece of information needs to ask the question. Matbilim, what do you do with the karpas? You dip it. And you tell them that this, when you dip the karpas, you tell them, make a bar priya daba, we're also going to have maror. And seemingly you tell them that we're going to be dipping twice. So we're going to be dipping the halayla zesh shtei pamim. We dip the karpas in the salt water, and we dip the maror in the charoses. So when you do the karpas, you're also informing him, you're giving him information that we're going to be dipping twice. Kiddush, when you made kiddush, the father did the kiddush be'haseba. That's the requirement. So now, after you say halach me'anya, and you've told him you're only going to be eating matzah, and he has the idea of haseba from kiddush, and he has the idea of the two dippings and maror from the karpas, kan habein shoyel.
And that's why it's placed where it is.
Right, after halach me'anya. Now later on. So that's why this pshat, this is not drush, this is pshat. He's just coming to explain to you what's the synonyms, kan haben child. You have to give the child all of the information in order for him to ask the questions. And the four things, when you finish saying halach me'anya, you've given him the fourth piece of information he needs. Now he can proceed and say the manishtana. Okay, let's go to another idea. The arba banim. Everyone asks this question, there are probably 1,000 answers. What's the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha? The Chacham says, Moh Eidos V'achuk V'yam Mishpot Masher Tziv Hashem Elokeinu Eschen. You. Right? So he says, you, which seemingly means you and not me. And the Rasha says, Moh Havoid Hazos Lochem. So everyone asks the question, why for saying Lochem, does he get his teeth knocked out? And the Tzaddik, the Chacham, when he says Eschen, he gets off easy. Okay, there are a million answers, but one answer he says is you have to go back to the source. The Chacham in the Torah begins with Kisholcha Vincha Mochar, Kisholcha Vincha Mochar. One of the Chacham doesn't ask the question right away. He only asks the question Mochar at a later point in time. The Rasha Ma, he says Ma Havoida Hazos. Hazos has a connotation of now. What is going on right here? What is this right in front of me? The difference between the Chacham and the Rasha is when they ask the question. And that speaks volumes. The Chacham doesn't ask right away. He observes, he waits, time passes. Ki yisholcha vincha mochar. When a person is willing to go with, follow the program for a long period of time, and be participant, and only later say, what is this all about? Even though he used an expression which seemingly might be have a connotation that he's not a participant, he's lochem, eschem, that doesn't mean to exclude himself. Because proof is in the pudding. Time has passed. Time is the greatest weapon. Time is the greatest indicator. Time speaks volumes. The problem with the Rasha is the word Zos. He is in contrast to the Chacham, and this is the Yesod, the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha, the concept of time. Mochar versus Zos. Yeah.
Say it in another way. Rasha acts on impulse.
Correct. Exactly, exactly. That's exactly what he wants to point out. And therefore it warrants an entirely different response. Okay, now let's go to another idea. This idea made a very powerful impression upon me. I'm not a mechanich. I have no idea what goes on in the world of chinuch. But he says something which is very frightening. From all the arba banim, which one is the most, which one should cause an alarm to go off in the minds and hearts of the parents? So he asked the average person, he asked me, I would say the Rasha. The Rasha is trouble. He's the one that, you know, you only can give that much attention to every child. A parent only has that much time, and which one of the children is going to get the bulk, get the the lion's share of a parent's time. So the average person would say, well, the Rasha, he's a...
He doesn't know how to ask anything.
What's the raya? What's the raya to that excellence? So that, exactly. Yeah. So therefore, you're saying is the one that a parent has to devote the most time. If a parent has these four children, or a Rebbe has in front of him in his class, he has 25 children in the class, and he's told to divide the class into four groups. They are the Chachamim, and the other Rishoyim, and the other Tamimim, and the other children, She'eni Adel Lishol. And a Rebbe only has that much time. He only has PTA. You know, how much time can you spend with every parent? Which category should the Rebbe, should a parent devote the most time? It is the last category. The She'eni Adel Lishol. What's the proof? The Baal Haggadah tells us this. Now, not one, just with Absachlo. Every one of the four children was given instructions what to do. We have instructions for the Chacham. The Chacham, I don't know, you say the Chacham, you have to teach him all the halachas, you have to teach him the Kol Torah Kula, you spend the whole day with him. The Rasha, you gotta gotta practice, gotta go to the gym, you gotta learn how to punch, you gotta go take martial arts course for the Rasha. Yeah, everything takes time. It's because it says, At Psachlo. At is Lashon Nekeva. What's the most popular drush, At Psachlo, that when you speak to the She'en the Elishol, go gentle, like in a cave, like a mother. At. But Lash doesn't say ata. At. Make believe you're a mother, motherly love. Speak to the child gently. But Rav Weinberger, he quotes a chazal. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he witnessed Klal Yisrael worshipping the eagle, and he came to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mevakesh Mechila, he said to Hashem, At oseli hargeni no horoig. Pasuk in Vim kocha, At Oseli Hargeni no Horeg. When Moshe Rabbeinu was recounting the event of the Maitse Egel, he said to Hashem these words, Am At Oseli Hargeni no Horeg, kill me. Why did Moshe choose the word At and not the word Ata? If you're going to do this to me, you're not going to forgive Klal Yisrael, then I want you to take my life. Moshe should have said, Im ato oseli. So the Gemara makes a drasha. Rashi there says, V'zelut Rashi, Toshash koichoy shel Moshe kinikeva. When Moshe used the word at, it indicates that Moshe became weak like a female. Most of the time, women are weaker than men. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the punishment that was about to come upon Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu melted. He became weak like a female. Now, Barnabas says, when the parent sees a child that's a chacham, very good. He sees a child as a rasha. Don't get excited. Okay, so he's a rasha. You can deal with the Rasha. It's no problem. He's only a kid. He's only a child. There's nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. You can maintain your koyach. When you see the tan, he's a tan. We'll deal with it. When a parent sees that he has a child, the Rebbe has a Talmud, she'eino yodea lishol. You know what the reaction is? V'she'eino yodea lishol at. You have to become frightened. You have to be turned into a matziv of toshash koichoy shel Moshe. If the child doesn't know how to ask, the parent should melt. The parent should melt and become weak like an akeva in fear. What is going to be with this child? A child that is not interested. It's better to be a rasha than to be a she'eni yodel lishol. Because at least the Rasha is interested. He's misguided. He'll be corrected. There's a mahalach. But a child that's just, I'm just not interested, that is the worst thing. A person's koichoy has to melt and become frightened at psachlo. First thing a parent has to do is become concerned. Melt. Hoshash koichoy kinikeva. And then work with him psachlo and try to accomplish something. Okay, that's one. Let's go to another vart. Another vart. I like this. Huh? What?
I never noticed. Here he says atop sachlo.
Atop.
Yeah, he has.
That's a tremendous chiddush.
Right?
Which Haggadah is this?
This is that one. Otze Purusha movie.
Let me see the cover. Let me see the cover. I'm not familiar with this.
I have notes.
All the Haggadahs, they say at.
It's tremendous. Mafarshim. I mean, I don't know. alongside.
Very chiddush. Different girsa. Atop sachla.
I guess he's. I'm looking to see now if he holds it because that they say at is the lashon of Aramis.
Uh-huh.
At is
it's equivalent to atop. Okay,
atop.
Could be. All right. Very interesting. Okay, another vart. Another from Rabbi Weinberger. B'chol dor v'dor chayev adam lirois es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotzem mitzrayim. What's the significance of saying the words b'chol dor v'dor? So he connects this expression to what it says about Noach. Noach was a tzaddik. Tam haya b'doy roisav. In his generations. So the Farshim asks, what does it mean b'doy roisav? It should say tzaddik tam haya b'doy roi in his generation. Why is it written b'loshon rabin? And the answer they are given is Noach lived in three generations. He lived through Dor Enosh, the tail end of Dor Enosh, where people began to worship Avodah Zarah. He lived in his generation of Chamas, Batishachesa Aretz, where the land was corrupt with Chamas, with violence, and Kihishchas Kolbosar Estarko, or we call the Dor Hamabel. And then after surviving Dor HaMabul, he did in the Dor HaFlogo, where the world began to rebel against the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Noach lived in three difficult generations. Dor Enosh, a denial of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the Dor HaMabul, where people were corrupt, bein Adam Lachavero, in the worst possible way, violence and arayos. And then the Dor HaFlogo, where there was no violence between man and man, there was no denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. The goal of that generation was to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yoder Rebbeinam, Umitzchavin, Lirdoispo. Three very different generations. And the Pasuk says, Tzadik Haya, Ish Tzadik, Tamim Haya, Bidoy Roisav, in all three generations. All three generations that he lived through Noach, he prevailed, he overcame the nesayin of the dar. So Wanagu says that's what it means in the Haggadah, b'chol dar v'dar chayev adam liros atzmo kilu hu yotzim mitzrayim b'chol dar v'dar ayim dimalein l'chaloi seinu. It doesn't mean history. Haggadah, it's not like derech pshat, it means world history. Every person lives in three generations. He lives in his own generation, but he also lives at the tail end of his parents' generation, and he lives into the generation of his children. Every healthy, normal person sees in front of him three generations. And the nesiyonos of each generation is very different. When he grew up as a child and he looks back at his parents and their generation, they dealt with different issues. Those are not issues in his own lifetime. In his lifetime, that's not his issue. And as he gets older and he sees his children enter into a new generation, the issues that they deal with, their nisyonos, are very different. So what it means to say in the Haggadah, don't look at the Haggadah, oh, I'm going to sit back and look at world history. Haggadah is personal. It's personal. Take it on a very personal level. B'chol dar v'dar chayiv adam liros tzatzma kilu hu yatsa mitzrayim. When you were a child, look at yourself as you came out of Mitzrayim with your father in his tkufa. Now look at Mitzrayim in your tkufa. And look at, view yourself as part of your children's generation. Join in these three generations and look at the Haggadah, and look at everything in the Haggadah from that perspective, the three generations of past, present, and future. Let's go to another quick idea. This is a very, very deep idea. He develops this at great length. Hashem guarded the Haftacha. Okay, the Bris Ben Absalom, let me find the exact words. Baruch Shomer Haftachaso LeYisrael Baruch Hu Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Esakeitz La'asoyz Kuma Sha'amar Li'ar Mavim Bahabris Ben Absalom Shnema V'yomer Li'avram Yodah Teida Ki Gerye Zar Acha B'yeretz Lo'ilohem V'avodom V'ino Yosem Ar Me'yoshana V'gam Etzkar She'yavoydu Don Anoichi V'yachin Yetzu B'chush Kado. What is the Haftacha? What's the translation of a Haftacha? Promise. Asha, I'm going to give you something. Is the word Haftacha synonymous with the word Gezera? Certainly not. Gezera has a connotation of something harsh, punishment, a decree. The Bris Ben Absarim seemingly was not a Haftacha. The word Haftacha does not mix with the essence of the Bris Ben Absarim. the Bris Benef Sarmar was Yedua Teda Ki Ger Yihye Zar Acha Bi Eretz Lo Elohem. That's a gezera. That's not a haftacha.
Yeah,
what?
At the end.
Well, so what's the end? Vavodim. Vavodim is a gzera. The Ilu Yosam, Arba Meoshana, the Gamas Hagoya Sho Yavoidu, Dona Noichi. That's a haftacha. I'm going to punish them. That's a gumul. That's not a haftacha. I'm going to punish them. Haftacha is a promise, a positive promise for you. Oh, and you're going to go out Beruchush Gadol? Moshe Rabbeinu had to go. Hashem didn't give it to us. We had to do it ourselves. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we explained to you, I bring something important. Moshe Rabbeinu had to go to Klaishon and beg them. Hashem said to Moshe, tell them, beg them. Beg them to borrow the kalim, the kalim from the Mitzrayim, so Avraham Avinu shouldn't say that Vavodim v'inu yosam kiyemohem v'yachichen yetzer v'chush gadol lo kiyemohem. Hashem didn't do it for us. We had to do it ourselves. We had to go take matters into our own hands. That's a haftacha. That's not the way you translate haftacha. Haftacha means you promise. I want direct deposit. That's haftacha. What? Bizasiyom. That was afterward. That's Kriyas Yamsa. That's already after Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a good kasha. The kasha is better than the answer. But it's a very strong question. The word haftacha, you learn the Torah. The Torah doesn't say haftacha. The word haftacha, the only place where we look at the Bris Ben Absalom with this word haftacha is only in the Haggadah. No other such place. You learn the Torah, there's a Bris Ben Absarim, Am Ravinu Ben Mo'eda, oh, you have a Muna, okay, I'm going to show you, you're going to go down to Mishra, you're going to be slaves 400 years, so on and so forth. What's the Haftacha? The word does not fit. So his theme, he has a very powerful theme, and he said this is a theme for life. The theme is, Hashem said to Avram Avinu, you're going to be slaves for 400 years. Go to a judge, and ask a judge in court, in any court of law in this world, what does it mean 400 years? It means 400 years. You go down to Egypt, your chevet goes in between the walls, the clock is ticking, you're going to be here for 400 years as slaves. And you know what? Were you really slaves for the first 190 years slaves? It says, Va'avodum ve'inu yoysam, we're going to torture you for 400 years. So we were only there, we only were tortured for 86 years. So according to all accounts, we have not fulfilled 400 years of the Avodum the Inui Oysam. We never fulfilled that. We never fulfilled the 400 years. The Haftacha is something that was spoken to Avram between the lines. We don't even know where this is. We have to have the Muna. Hashem said there's a Gezerah. There's a harsh Gezerah. The Gezerah is 400 years of the Avodum, the Inui Oysam. That's the Gezerah. Hashem spoke to Avram orally. We don't have an exact, it's hard to find an exact record for this in Tanakh. It would be interesting to develop this further. Know what the Haftacha of the Baal HaGadah says? I promise you, I'm going to work things out to your benefit. There's a Gezerah. I'm going to calculate in my calculator 400 years Leidas Yitzchak. And that's a stretch. Leidas Yitzchak is called Avodum V'inui Oysam. The Eretz Lo Elohem? Yeah. We can work things out. There are technicalities, there are legal loopholes, there are ways that we can consider living in Canaan, not under the authority of where you lack autonomy. We'll consider that to be Be'eretz Lo Elohem, we'll consider there to be the Avodum, because you have to pay taxes, it's not your land. Hashem says to Avram, I'm giving you a Haftacha, although there's a Gezerah, I'm going to bend backwards to make sure we work things out to what we call, what the Baal HaGadah calls, Chishev Es HaKetz, to calculate the end to your benefit. That's the Haftacha. And that, Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us B'chol Dor V'Dor. Every single generation, every single day, there's a klal in this world. Every single generation, there's a gezeira. That's the way it is. But the haftacha Hashem gave Klal Yisrael is Chishev es haketz. I'm going to make a calculation that will result in your benefit. I can interpret the gzero in the most extreme form, but my promise to you is to work it out for your ultimate benefit. That's the haftacha, and that has been fulfilled in Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that haftacha Kadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled with us every single day, where He allows the gzero to be fulfilled in the most harmless and delicate way, where we don't have to have the full brunt of suffering. Okay. Okay, one last quick vart. In the Torah, Pesach is called by three names. Everyone knows it's called Pesach. No, not Chag. Is it called Chag Aviv? It's not called Chag. It's called Chag Aviv. It's the Chodesh Aviv. Everything is called Chag. Everything is called Chag Aviv. Chag Matzos. And it's called Pesach. Torah also calls it Pesach. Okay, the Pasuk says the Pharisee is called Pesach. And what else is it called? It's called Shabbos. Mimocharas HaShabbos. When do you bring the Omer? Mimocharas HaShabbos. So the Torah very clearly defines the day of Pesach three different ways. It's Pesach, it's Achila, it's the Zman of Pesach. We eat the Korban Pesach, the night of the 15th. It's Chag HaMatzos, Farish, and it's Mimocharas HaShabbos. So he develops. So one only thing I want to add to what he says is when we recite the Haggadah, we call me Shleomar Shloisha Dvarim Eilu BePesach Lo Yotzu DeChavasei Pesach Matzo Mora. So obviously Pesach is Pesach Matzos Chag Matzos. Moror, I want to suggest, is Shabbos, because what is Shabbos? Shabbos means to rest. It was a rest from Vayimoru Eschayehem BaAvoda Kosha. 7 days, Sheshashyam Tavot, Vyasisa Komalachtecha, Vyayim Hashvi Tishbois. What was Pesach? What was the whole circumstance in Yitzias in Mitzrayim? Avodim. Avodim. It wasn't just Sheshashyam Tavot, it was 86 years of Avodas Perach. It was 400 years to some degree. It was Avoda. Slavery, crushing labor. And what was Pesach? Pesach, the Torah says, Shabbos. The Avoda came to an end. The Avoda came to an end, and we were freed. So when we recite on Pesach, Kol Nishlei Amar Shloisha Dvarim Halalu Yoyotze Yidei Chayvasei V'Eilu Hein Pesach Matzu Morar, that corresponds to the way the Torah itself defines this festival. It's a festival of Pesach, Pasach Hashem ala Pesach. Hashem redeemed us. He redeemed us in a state of chipazoin, and it was a shivisa from the bitterness of the avoda as vaymarischem avoda kasha. It was a shivisa. So this is definitely, there are definitely parallels of the three ways the Torah defines the Yom Tov. Okay, we'll leave it with that.